Welcome back to the RV America Y'all podcast.
I'm Stacy.
I'm Tom, and we're RV America Y'all.
We are native Texans and full-time RVers who are all about exploring this great country called America, one campground at a time. We're on a mission to experience life, not just live it, and we're bringing you along for the fun.
Yeah, we're still here in Galveston, Texas at the beautiful Jamaica Beach RV Resort, but it's about to come to an end. We hate that. Yeah, but this is episode number 50.
And to celebrate our 50th episode of the podcast, we are joined today by our great friends, Ronnie and Carol, full-time RVers, also from Texas, to share their experiences. So sit back, relax, and join us as we RV America, y'all. So, yes, we have often talked about one of the reasons we love coming back every year to Jamaica Beach RV Resort are the people. We have so many wonderful friends who we get to see here every year, and this is our opportunity
for sure
to play games and go out to eat and go to happy hours and just have a ball catching up with everybody and what their travels were over the past year. And two of those folks that we always look forward to seeing are with us today. Welcome to the podcast, Ron and Carol. We're so glad to have y'all here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And if Ron and Carol sound familiar to you, well, you've been with us for a while then, and you might remember on our YouTube channel, it's been several years ago now, they were featured on a Winging It with Friends episode. And so I will link that in the show notes in case you want to go back and see that.
Yeah, and common theme here lately, both Ronnie and Carol are our new posse members.
Yes,
they're new posse members.
Thank y'all.
Enjoying it, too.
Awesome.
Great, thank you. Thank you. We're so glad to have y'all on board. And hopefully building what is to be many years of a amazing community of friendly folks. So,
and these two, as you get to know them here on this podcast, you're going to realize why we're so excited to have them part of the posse, because of they have a lot of experiences and they've gone to a lot of places.
Tried to, anyway.
Yeah.
So before we get too far into it, why don't y'all tell folks what you travel in?
We are traveling in a 2015 Thor Challenger that we bought brand new in 2015.
And that is a Class A gas motorhome.
Class A gas motorhome.
How long is it?
38 feet.
Okay.
And you tow, what car do you tow?
We tow a 2019 Jeep Cherokee.
Okay.
Was it a Firehawk?
Trailhawk.
Trailhawk. All right. Cool.
Yeah, y'all used to tow something else, right?
It's a Kia.
Oh, wow.
It's a standard Kia that we pulled for 10 years.
Yeah.
Wow. So you could tow that one four down also, huh?
Yeah. So why did y'all pick this motorhome when you made the decision to buy it?
We started, our first motorhome was a Thor Hurricane.
Okay.
And we liked it, but it didn't have enough room, we thought. And at the time, we were taking our kids, our grandkids, on trips with us, too. Mm-hmm. And we still do take the grandkids on trips. But this one afforded us a lot more opportunities in terms of room and sleeping arrangements and that kind of stuff.
So you've got the drop-down bunk that you can use over the captain's chairs, right?
Right.
And then does your booth dinette also?
The dinette turns into a bed.
Okay.
Okay.
Then we did have a fold-down sofa that turned into a bed, but we've changed that out to the captain or the recliners.
Okay. Okay.
And then we have a king-size bed in back.
So you can sleep quite a few folks.
And
in
we
there.
Have.
Yes, we have.
We went to Disney World, and as the world was shutting down for COVID, and there was, what, eight of us?
Kristen and the three boys and the two of us, so seven.
Seven of us.
Plus that's your the, dogs.
Yeah.
Plus the two dogs.
Can't forget Bo and McGee.
No.
And it was a whirlwind trip, so it was we were packed into every inch of this thing.
But yet, I bet you wouldn't trade that for the world.
It was the best trip. It was a wonderful, wonderful trip.
Yeah. So when did y'all decide that you were going to become full-time RVers? How did that come about for you?
He had been talking about doing that for years, but I was reluctant to do that as long as we still had parents, elderly parents, and as long as we still had small grandchildren.
Okay.
Because there were times when we were called on to, you know, stay with a sick kid because mom or dad couldn't get off work or on short notice or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't until 2018, our youngest grandchild was finally in school and they were all busy with karate and baseball and all that stuff. And then my father passed away and that was the last of our parents living.
Okay.
And so I looked at him and I said, if we're going to do it, You better do it now.
Now's the time. And y'all were living in the Dallas area at the time.
Yes. We have a home in Rockwall.
Okay.
Did y'all sell that house? What did y'all do?
No, we still have the house. Okay. And my son is renting it from us.
Okay.
So he takes care of it and makes sure that everything's going okay with it. Because he said when we were talking about doing this, he said that he might as well move in here because he's going to wind up being there taking care of it anyway. So, because we wanted to keep it for a year to see if
this worked out,
if we
right?
liked it. I mean, we'd had an RV for several years, but I mean, until you move into the can, you just don't know.
Well, hi, Bo. Their little pup Bo has come
come to say hello.
Has given me kisses. Hi, Bo. So y'all travel with two little pups.
Right.
Yes.
Now, how do they do in traveling?
They're great all the time, except when we're driving.
Yes.
And they're not crazy about moving down the road in the thing.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Bo rides in my lap everywhere we go. And he's fine. And he's fine there. When he gets in my lap, he lays down, and then McGee's kind of everywhere.
McGee will usually sit up on the dash and act as navigator.
Okay.
Or when he gets tired, he'll come get in my lap and lay in my lap.
Okay. Well, it's important to have a role, McGee, so, you know.
So what year did y'all actually start full-time?
2019.
July 2nd, 2019.
It was probably right after that that we met.
Mm-hmm. I think we did, because y'all came to Jamaica Beach
that November.
Y'all took a cruise or something right away, didn't you? Didn't you come here and take a cruise?
Or they had just gotten back from a cruise.
We'd just gotten back from one.
I think that was it.
We should tell y'all that Ron and Carol are not just our RVing friends. They're also cruise buddies.
Oh, yeah. We've definitely taken some cruises together.
We love our cruises.
So, and there's a lot in common, I think, with RVing and cruising. We're used to living in a small space. Yeah. So
right.
For us, sometimes those cabins feel absolutely spacious.
They do.
We're used to not having, to pack a lot of clothes and things like that, So I think RVers make natural cruisers.
I will say and I'm going to let Ronnie and Carol tell you about their adventures last year trying to get here to Jamaica Beach and what actually happened to them. And because of that, Jamaica Beach last year wasn't the same for us.
That's true.
Ronnie and Carol are the two that lead the games here. And
our cruise directors.
They are. I mean, we play cards and dominoes and stuff all the time because of them. They're the ones that are the great leaders of that, and we really missed that last year. So that's kind of a segue into y'all. You know, what happened last year on your way down here to Jamaica Beach?
Well, we had been
and
at...
Carol has to take her glasses off for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're members of a RV community group, the Traveling Texans.
Okay.
And we had been in at the RV rally in Elmendorf. It's just southeast of San Antonio. So it's about a four-hour drive down here. Mm. Done it several times. So we're headed, you know, here, and things are going good. We get off 10, get on to 45, and I look down, and the check engine light comes on. And we've all had that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Gas caps, whatever. But I thought, I better get to the inside lane just in case. So I pulled to the inside. By the time I got to the inside lane, this thing was shaking and doing things that you'd never want to do in a big vehicle like that. And I hit the next exit, pulled off, and it was kaput.
Wow.
I mean, it wouldn't do anything after that. And we're, sitting there. We have no idea. It's a Friday afternoon, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, traffic's starting to build because it's about 2:00 by that time. And we're just in a pickle. We ain't got a clue. Because we don't know what's happening to it. But
sure.
We had never had, a second of engine problems until that point.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And it just like that. I mean, it didn't.
No it warning.
None at all. So we got people finally. It took a long time to get people to help us out. But finally we got some help. And we were told it was spark plug problems and this and that. And, we finally got moving. And we moved up about 30 minutes up the road. And it wasn't doing anything then. So the people came and helped us again. And we finally did get to Galveston.
Yay!
But was it the same day? Or
no, it was the next day.
So you stayed overnight.
We stayed overnight in a Conn's parking lot because Walmart kicked us out.
Yeah, I mean,
Walmart told us that we could not be there. They're closed. There's nobody in the parking lot. And I said, but we're not here to spend the night. We're here because we're broken down. He says, good, I'll get you a wrecker and you can.
How helpful.
Yeah.
So we moved over because it's a big parking lot over. We moved over and there's no problem.
But you were able to move the rig.
Yeah, it. I mean, we went, 200 yards and it took us a while to get there. So it was interesting.
And so then the next day, y'all.
The guy came out, he worked on it. He.
All day.
We actually moved to another parking lot down the road, a little further down 45. And then finally he says, I've got it going. I think you'll be okay. And by this time it's almost dark. And we don't travel in the dark very often. And when we started up and turned the thing, we didn't have any headlights.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
So we got to working on that, and I went underneath where the engine is and said, hey, everything's got to have a ground. So I went and found the ground and hooked the ground up, and I fixed the lights.
There you go. So,
but then he says, you're okay, y'all go, and when you need anything else, call us. So we headed down 45, and we did, it was a little slow, we didn't have a lot of pickup, but we got to 61st Street in Galveston.
Yep.
Which is a busy street,
because yes,
it's
it
one
is.
Of the main streets going from Broadway or
yep,
45.
That's the exit off
right.
of 45
to get to the seawall.
Yes. Yep.
Well, we got about halfway down 61st Street. We got about to Stewart.
Yeah, and at this point, all of us are waiting for Ronnie and Carol to get here. I mean, yep. We are all congregated out in the street here thinking that you're going to make an appearance any moment. We're about to give you a hard time about it.
Yeah, we've been texting back and forth.
Yeah.
And the last message I sent you was, we're on our way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we literally are, there's a bunch of us out here. We're in your spot, waiting for you to show up. We got snacks and drinks.
We're ready to have a happy hour, and it wasn't
and
so
it was,
happy.
Nope.
So now we get a call from you guys that you're broke down again.
Yeah, we're broke down. I don't think it was actually Stewart, but it was the, like one block off from Stewart on 61st Street. And it dies, and it ain't doing nothing.
And you're in the street.
We're in the middle of this. We are in the middle. I'm in the middle lane.
Ooh. Oh, no. Of the intersection,
yeah.
Too.
Oh.
Of,
I didn't we're sticking even know that.
Into, yeah, we're sticking partway into the intersection. And where I even get out and try to jump the battery, and it won't do anything. And so finally she's in the car behind me, and the police start pulling
up. Oh, yeah,
We didn't call them. I guess they were just driving by, and one notified at another one.
You weren't towing the car at that point because you were already kind of slow.
Well,
so,
and
it was
we didn't want to put any more drain on the engine by pulling
the
weight.
So Carol's driving the Jeep, and you're in the motorhome, and here you are stuck.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, we were stuck for a little while because we got a wrecker from there, and we wound up in the Specs parking lot.
Which, fittingly, if you're not familiar with the Specs, that is the big liquor store chain down here.
Uh-huh. So if you're going to have engine problems, then you...
But it was pretty good because we asked the officer, where should you... He said, I would just tow it up in the parking
lot. It's a huge parking lot.
It's a big parking lot. It's got Specs, the liquor store. It's got a Randall supermarket. It's got a Taco Cabana.
Yes.
And all this may sound... Like, why you're just, well, we were in that parking lot for 5 days.
Yes.
Because we found somebody who was finally really willing to work on the thing. And so they kept sending the people out, and they were doing all kinds of diagnostic things on us. And they kept finding other things. So they were out there several days there, but we could do nothing. I mean,
you couldn't put out the slides or anything.
No. We just sat there. And we were terrified to leave because we just talked about the puppies. We were afraid that if we left the RV to go do anything, that if the
RV stores, got towed or something.
The park, you know, they came and towed the vehicle. Our dogs are going with it.
Yeah, if different managers came online or something.
So
and
we were terrified.
Situation.
So we were afraid to leave it at all. So at all times, one of us was always with the RV.
Yeah.
And we were.
But on top of not being able to put the slides out, we couldn't take a shower.
Yeah, that's true.
We had no connections.
And you weren't expecting to be running off your tanks, so you didn't have a full tank of water.
And then it...
You weren't expecting to go dry camping in this experience.
It started draining the power on the lights. It would start getting dark, so we'd keep everything turned off as much as we could.
Yes.
So we had power.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a great time to... push how important it is, and a lot of the trailers and stuff don't have them, but generators are so important.
Oh my gosh!
We very seldom ever use our generator ever, but that saved our life.
There you go.
Definitely.
That's how we had lights. That's how we were able to do some things. Is
and that's how you saved your batteries too.
Exactly.
Yes. I mean, your batteries would have been toast on top of everything else if you didn't have a way to charge them.
So the generator was just a lifesaver that motorhomes have, but the people in travel trailers and fifth wheels, a lot of them don't have. And I've told some of my friends, it's just, having a generator is something that it's not going to be needed all the time, but it's going to be needed at some time.
And when you need it, you need it. There's
well,
nothing
like here
else
in
that
Texas,
can really take its place.
People are buying these backup generators for their houses down.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you can see why. I mean, we've had several instances in Texas on our great power grid here in Texas that, you went a week or 2 weeks without power. So the generator saved some people.
Right.
So unfortunately we know it 5 days you're in the parking lot, but now what solution, what happened? Well, obviously we'll say they did not make it to Jamaica Beach.
Yeah, we never made it to the RV park. We had talked about having it towed there.
Because
the guy that was working on it said, I could probably work on the engine. And because at this point, they're either going to have to do major work or they're going to have to change the engine out. They're going to have to replace the engine. And he said, I could probably do it, but wouldn't be the best place to do it. So, we finally agreed to tow it to their place. And I think their place was in Webster. Mm-hmm. And had it towed there. Super nice people. I mean, these people been over backwards for us. And they looked at it, and we were dealing with a extended warranty company.
Yep.
And they, which finally came through, but boy, they drug their feet.
Yep.
And it went on for over a month. Oof. Dealing with them.
So in this time, y'all went back to
We went back to Dallas and stayed with my daughter. Thank goodness we get along. Because her and her husband were just wonderful. They treated us like king and queen. So.
Yeah, that's good. Better than family.
Yes.
Well, and on top of that, while we were sitting in the parking lot, as you well know,
yeah,
I injured my hand.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And again. I thought it was nothing. I ended up having to have surgery while we were there.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so
you can't
I
go
had
there.
Rehabilitation, physical therapy.
You have to tell them what you did.
Yeah. How did you injure that hand?
I had a little piece of fingernail that I had bitten off.
A booger.
Yeah, yeah. And I took my middle finger of my right hand and I just flicked it off.
And just
that
flicking
motion.
Don't flick.
That is my advice to everyone now. Do not flick. Because my hand exploded in pain.
Oh, my gosh.
And what happened was the sheath covering the tendon that extends and retracts your finger tore.
On wow. A freak thing.
A freak thing. My doctor said, oh, I know what that is. That's a flicking injury. And it's quite common.
Oh, my gosh.
So I know nobody who's had it.
So getting back to Dallas, I guess you were in the right place.
It was the right place.
That's where your doctors are.
Because that's where apparently I needed to be to follow up with doctors and physical therapy.
So how long were y'all out of your motorhome?
Until March 2nd.
So that is, you were
November,
coming in when? November?
First November.
Okay.
To March 2nd.
So 4 months, and a half months.
And what did they end up doing?
The main thing was these people that had taken it in, and there were several storms came through the Houston area while we were gone. They had it backed into their shop, so it was inside, and it got down to freezing a couple of times, and we worried about everything in it.
Right.
But after they got into it, got everything approved to work on it, they had everything they needed except the fact that they couldn't work on it. Because they got to looking at it, and when they started tearing it apart, they realized that the frame comes all the way up under the engine, so they couldn't drop the engine down out of it. It was going to apparently have to come out the front somehow
They didn't have that equipment.
And they didn't have that equipment.
And they're replacing the motor.
We've got pictures of the inside of it, and it looked like somebody took a ball peen hammer and just spent about 4 or 5 days beating the inside of the engine.
Because
something broke loose and went into the engine and just
kind of ping-ponged around.
Yes. So now you've got the approvals from the insurance company, all this. They even have the engine at the shop, right?
Yes,
we had already
got the new engine and ready to go.
But they couldn't get it
they
out.
Can't
they
can't do it. So
tools.
Now what happens?
So they actually, when they told us it was, I mean, their voices were just
the
downtrodden.
Owner, the owner of the company called me.
Yeah.
And she apologized over and over again. And she said, we're so sorry, but we can't do this.
Wow.
And, of course, we were devastated immediately. Yeah. And she said, but we have called around and we have found a company that can do it.
Wow.
And
wow.
We can get it from our shop to them without you having to come back down here to do it.
Nice. That's when you knew you were dealing with the right people to start with.
And they didn't just call one person and say, because she had said, we've done the research, what was needed. When we called the people, we made sure they had this and this. They had everything that it could do it.
Yeah.
And we believe these people are what you need. And then it turns out they were about a mile and a half down the road from them.
Oh,
wow.
That's perfect.
So they didn't have to tow it very far.
Or maybe 2-3 miles. But they were right down the road in right on the edge of Pearland, I believe it was.
But ironically, about 6 miles from where we had broken down to begin with.
If you had only known that was going to be necessary from the very beginning, right?
Yep. Well, the good Lord tried to put you in the right place.
He did. Exactly. He didn't listen.
He did. We just tried to take it away.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the new company got it, and they were, but the problem is they had to start over. With the extended warranty company.
Oh, right. Because now they have to get the approval.
Yeah, and they got a few more charges different because of what it was, so they had to do everything. Now, mind you, since it had already been done and Carol had already contacted somebody with the extended warranty company and talked to them, we had a new person that was dealing with it. And he got things done, and it was only a week or so before he got it where they could start on it.
That's good.
And they, again, just, you know, a blessing is that these people were nice. They called us. They talked to us. They told us what was going on. And it was dealing with them was a good thing.
That's awesome.
That's good. That's awesome. Staying at your daughter's, things were fine there.
Absolutely. We were so blessed because, as you know, we had spent the summer up in the UP.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. All up and around there, we could have broken down up there.
Yes. Yeah.
And been so far away from family and everything.
You could have been anywhere, miles away from anything.
Yeah, and not known anything or anybody about getting things done.
Right.
So if you can feel blessed from that kind of, major upheaval in your life, we were blessed.
Yes.
We had a place we could go and stay and were comfortable and welcome and and our daughter and son-in-law just said, stay as long as you want.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, with everything you two went through, why are you still doing this?
It's a good question.
Well, I guarantee you.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
But when y'all were going through this and it just kept on, Tom and I had these conversations where we thought, golly, if we were in that situation, what would we be doing? And do you think they're going to give it up and go back to a house? Or, because that is the epitome of frustration.
Yeah. There was days when we'd get information, or maybe we couldn't get information.
Right.
But when we'd get information about something that had gone wrong or was going to do whatever, there was days I was done.
Yeah.
But, after I settled down and would think about it, there's still too many things I want to do.
Yes.
That's what it all comes back to is there's places we haven't been and places friends we wouldn't see, and we just decided that,
we're going to push through.
Yeah, it just wasn't worth, giving up on.
Yes.
So, when you think about it, we just talked about all the bad times, but you talked about us being, cruise buddies. During this time was when we were supposed to meet up
Tom
and Stacy back
in
Florida and go on a cruise.
Right.
And she'll tell you about the one of the reasons why we didn't get to Florida.
We had had care for our dogs booked for 6 months there in Florida.
Yeah.
And we got a notice from them, an email from them saying, the wife's office has now demanded that she come back into work and is no longer allowed to work from home.
Oh.
And he's going to be out of town that week.
Oh, gosh.
And therefore, the care we had lined up for 6 months got canceled on us.
So your rig is in the shop and has been for months. Y'all are living with your daughter and her husband and kids, and this was going to be at least your vacation from
all
that.
At least a break from
all
this.
We had already booked this cruise before.
A
year before. Yeah. That's right, because we booked it while we were on the previous cruise.
Correct.
Uh-huh. So, and you were going to just drive out in your Jeep.
We had looked at several different things, but, at least we were going to drive out there, drop the puppies off, and get on the ship.
Yeah. And then we, then we get the message, well, no, that's not going to work either. And it's like, oh, man, come on.
What else can rain on y'all's parade?
Wow.
And there will be people who say, well, why didn't you just leave the dogs with one of your kids?
Right.
My daughter has two big Great Pyrenees.
Yes.
And they're beautiful, lovely dogs, but my dog, one of my dogs, doesn't like them.
He doesn't like big dogs at all.
He doesn't like other dogs. He doesn't like big dogs, and one of hers is still puppy playful.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And he doesn't want to play.
Yes.
And she doesn't understand when he growls at her that that's not playing.
Right.
So there's some issues there sometimes, and we didn't feel that it was fair to ask them to play referee for a week while we go out and lounge around in the sun.
There was pretty serious going on sometimes when they got mad.
Sure, so. Sure.
But my son, like I said, is in our house.
Right.
But they had, not too awful long before, they had gotten a new dog. It was a pretty big dog that was real puppy and was everywhere.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And McGee really didn't like it.
Yep.
Our dogs are very low energy, low key, laid back.
Yes.
Our kids' dogs are not.
So obviously, unfortunately for us again, and y'all more so, that you did not make the trip. You were not able to go on the cruise.
Yeah, and talk about a depressing time.
Oh,
boy.
And it really was.
When I had to, we canceled that, and I argued with them for quite a while over the thing. I had to go back. We had planned the RV trip to go out, work our way to Florida,
yes,
meet y'all, go to the cruise, and then after we left there, we were going to go up the East Coast.
Right.
Which was the second year I tried to go up the East Coast. I had to call and cancel everything. So I had to spend a couple of days calling people and canceling. And, you know, everybody was really nice, but I'm going, I'm really sorry. I said, it's okay. And I thought, you know, I needed that. I needed people to be understanding
right.
at the time when I was really depressed.
But when you're having to make those phone calls, it's like rubbing salt in an open wound.
There's no doubt.
You're already disappointed that you're not going to get to do it, and then to have to go undo
that
everything.
Just makes it even more real.
Exactly. But back to your question, you ask, why keep doing this? We try to avoid knee-jerk reactions and to say, we're done.
Right.
Yeah.
We're moving into a house. We're over this.
Right.
That would have been a knee-jerk reaction. And we have since had an opportunity to travel a little bit and see some things that we never thought we would see.
Yes.
Yes.
And that helps us understand that we made the right decision to just keep on keeping on.
That's awesome. So, speaking of that, that's the biggest challenge, I think, of anybody we know to this point. And hopefully that stays that way and in the rearview mirror for everybody.
Exactly.
Amen.
Never wish upon anybody.
I'm telling you. No. So you made it through. So talking about happier times, what are some of your favorite places that you've been able to travel to because you RV?
Wow.
Our very favorite place is Yellowstone.
Yeah. Always comes back to Yellowstone.
Well, yeah. Just talking with...
Tammy said the same
Tammy
thing.
Tammy said the exact... I do, too. Yellowstone's my all-time favorite.
The animals in their habitats, it's just amazing to me.
Yellowstone is such a side of what the whole world in the United States is considered. They've got prairies and flatlands. They've got 13,000 foot mountains in it.
Yes.
You know, that's got snow all the time. It's got the animals. It's got just beautiful scenery. We just are in a different place every time we go.
I agree.
It puts you in just a different frame of mind and, just going in. Being within, 30 or 40 yards for a grizzly bear, you just don't know what life is until
that is amazing. Yes,
we've seen probably 8-10 grizzly bears when we've been going.
We've never seen one there.
We've heard that from other people as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, how could you not see them?
I've been here to the pickup 30 yards from one.
Wow.
When the car I was hiding behind pulled off and I was just
going, and you're like, oops.
Yellowstone's always the start when we talk about the great places because there's just so many places that until I was 25 years old, I'd only been in Texas and Oklahoma and Arkansas.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's traveling was something I didn't learn growing up.
Yeah.
So seeing places now that at one time I never thought I'd see.
That's ever. Amazing.
Did y'all RV before y'all started full-timing?
Yes. We got our first RV in 2011.
Okay.
Because my brother had a fifth wheel, and when I retired in 2009, we took a trip to New York with RV, and then later on, he bought a new truck and all this stuff, and we went to Vegas, and we went to all this stuff, and on our way back, you know, we had planned a trip to Disney World for the take our grandkids, but theirs and ours, and he had all kinds of problems with this because he had a brand new truck and the hitch wouldn't work on it.
Oh, no.
Bent up the legs and all this stuff.
Oh,
so,
no.
So we didn't want to have a problem, and he was fighting with them to get that. So we didn't. So we went and bought a motorhome.
Okay, so that's why you chose motorhome to begin with.
Well,
okay.
We had talked about it because we had back in the 90s.
Yeah.
The 90s, we had borrowed her parents' Class C at one time and
went
to Disney World and did some stuff. Matter of fact, we came down here and stayed at the state park down the road. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting, too. But, you know, we had decided that just now with our age and everything else, a motorhome was better because it offered you more while you were on the road.
Right.
You give up a little bit maybe in interior size, mm-hmm. but it, you know, it to me, it's just better, you know, driving down the road with, you know, having the bathroom and the refrigerator and, you know, whatever it may be. You know, I mean, I was sick as a dog coming home from Branson one time and slept on this thing the whole time because that I wouldn't have been able to have done if we'd have had a trailer.
Yeah.
So right. No, that's
it's,
true.
It's those type things that
I've done that also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Stacy drove coming back from California and I was sick as a dog.
Yep.
Well, we left Branson and just right after we left Branson, it hit me and I couldn't. And so I laid down and.
I drove while he slept.
Yeah. Yep.
The other thing was we had six people going on that trip.
Okay.
His brother-in-law and wife and their grandson, us and our grandson. And six people in a pickup truck going to Vegas. And
that'd be a long trip.
Well, and again, I had 1 foot in a cast and 1 foot in a boot.
Oh, my God.
We had a scooter, the handicapped scooter that in the back of the truck that she was.
We always say we're going to wrap Carol in bubble wrap.
Yeah, it's true.
I need it, I think. But he had always wanted a motorhome.
Mm-hmm. I had.
That had been our desired choice of travel.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Well, I'm glad y'all settled on it for sure.
Yeah.
And
me
I'm
too.
Glad you didn't give up this lifestyle.
Me too, because we have met some amazing people.
Yeah.
Yes. You guys are among those. And just there's nothing like other campers, RVers.
I agree.
They are all so friendly.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have a problem and people come from all directions and what's going on? How can I help you?
Yes.
And it's just, it's an amazing lifestyle and you make memories. We take our grandsons out. We've taken a couple of trips to Disney World in it. We've take our grandsons every summer for a week. Those are memories that we couldn't make any other way.
Because while we were staying at my daughter's house, we had time to speak to the grandkids. And they would bring up, you know, when we went to New Mexico and did, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, y'all remember all that? They said, yeah. We had ball.
Wow. And no, Isn't that great?
Yes.
You know, that just warms your heart.
So you are associated for them with these amazing memories that they still have now and will have for the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
Speaking of, while we were just getting the RV back, we were going to be getting it back, and the youngest grandson, who's 11 now, but he came to me and said, Papa, what does the RV look like? You know, it's been a while since I've seen it.
Well, that sounds like a hint if I ever heard one.
I said, well, it's fine. It's good. He goes, do y'all still enjoy it? Right? He says, you know, I sure would like to see that.
We took the hint.
Yeah, so we wound up taking him and his older brother to Louisiana right after we got it back.
Yeah, we'd had it back like 24 hours.
Yeah.
And took them for a week.
Yeah, y'all were right away.
We had to come down and we had to get back because we had planned the trip there. Because the older brother wants to go to, he loves LSU.
Okay.
So we went to Baton Rouge and we took him to campus and showed him around and let him see that, and we did, you know, went and saw alligators and all kinds of stuff, and they, you know, but it was all because he couldn't remember what the inside of the alligator was like. So he worked his way into getting to go on another trip.
That's a smart kid right there.
But it also told us that they enjoyed traveling with us.
You're right.
For sure.
And that's, you know what, that's every grandparent's dream, isn't
exactly.
it?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I mean,
we talked about the snowball fights at the top of Pikes Peak in July and, you know, just different things we've done with them. They brought those things up.
That's fantastic.
And it was very, made my heart happy to hear that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for sure, for sure. So, Yellowstone, I know, is one of your favorite places. Y'all went to the UP recently.
And that I, never having been to Michigan before,
yes.
did not have a clue what to look for. And the place is covered with trees.
Isn't it amazing?
Trees. It's beautiful.
I love trees.
Yes.
I love landscapes and what you live with trees. And it was just everywhere you went, it was just, you know, trees everywhere. And I thought, this is my kind of place.
Yes.
Until it gets down to zero.
In the summer, though,
yeah, it's
pretty
gorgeous.
Darn amazing.
Like we said,
and I should say the UP is the Upper Peninsula right. of Michigan.
The Northern Michigan and the UP is all just incredible.
It is. It's beautiful. Well, even Southern, you know, down there was Grand Rapids and
yes.
stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we stayed at an RV park that had a river running through it, and the RV park owned their own paddle boat. Paddle wheel boat.
Oh, wow.
That you went out for an hour or so, you own. And there's, like I said, there was trees everywhere, and it was just beautiful.
Oh,
and,
that's fantastic.
And, you know, that was on the way up. And then when you get to the, you know, you really get to Lake Huron and Superior, and then you come back into the top of Michigan. It's just beautiful.
And the air is just different there.
It
don't
is.
You think? I mean, it's so clean smelling and with all those trees.
Yeah, and no salt water. It's fresh and it's, you know, it. But for you guys, I mean, I know you both had careers that were really engulfing. I mean, Carol was a principal and Ronnie is a former police officer. Did you ever imagine that you would be doing those kind of trips?
No.
No.
No. And that I think that's the reason why we had talked to about an RV is at the end when we were talking about retirement is we wanted a way to travel.
Yeah.
And I really don't like to fly, but I don't think flying, you know, when you fly over everything, you get there and you generally spend your time there and then you fly back and that's just not any fun.
Right.
I like seeing nature and everything you know, on the way.
Yeah.
That's a big thing to me. So I really, really love the lifestyle.
The journey is the destination.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know? It really, really is.
And for us, we have discovered some of the most amazing places that we never knew existed because we stopped along the way to somewhere
exactly.
else.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, I mean, there's little things. I mean, the Little Bighorn.
Yes.
We had planned our trip to, when I planned our trip to Montana, you know, when we got to Billings, we were going to stay there for a couple of days. And I planned half an hour at the Little Bighorn.
Yeah.
6 hours later.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Wow.
You know, we were in Pittsburgh this last summer, and a friend of hers texted her and says, have you been to the Flight 93 Memorial? My parents went there, and they loved it. I thought, where would that be? So I looked at it, and it was 45 minutes from us.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
How lucky
you know,
is that?
So we go there, and it's amazing. It's just a wonderfully done memorial to that whole thing. And that's how you, when you're an RVer, that's how it does. You go, when you get places, you find things, and you find out things that you didn't,
you really didn't know before.
You're right.
Yeah. I mean, the little bighorn, the battle is, you know, because they really go depth into the whole thing. And it ain't the way I learned it in the history
right.
books.
And that's what we have learned about a lot of things. The stories that we learned as kids in history class, that's not the whole story.
No.
Nope.
That's one not side.
Yes. It's one side of the story.
And one perspective.
Yes.
You know, not even a whole side, but we can be on the same side and still see things differently.
You're right.
And so you get whatever perspective gets printed in the book.
Right.
But yeah. That's where your RV y'all posse comes in.
Yes.
The ability for people to say, oh, we were here and we saw this thing or we did this thing yes. and it's great and we want to recommend it.
Yes.
Because, you know, we're headed out. We're going to try again.
The third time, hopefully.
Yeah.
To make it to Savannah and Charleston. And looking at your videos, we've already said, oh, we want to do this right here.
Good.
Because that looks cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, other people that we've looked at what they've done and thought, okay, future trips.
Yes.
Yeah, recommendations. One thing that I just recently learned about Ronnie is that you write a lot of reviews at some of the places that y'all have stayed. And part of the posse is we want people to put reviews on places so we all can know the places to go to and maybe some of the places not to go to or to stay at.
Yeah.
Well, back, I guess, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, you know, way after we had started this, using the TripWizard deal, I'd always go to the reviews.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you can go to the websites through it, but I'd always go to the reviews and I'd look at the reviews and there was a lot of good reviews. And I made decisions because of it. I thought,
sure.
Yeah. That's why it needs to be done. Mm-hmm. You need to make sure they're done fairly. So I said, if I'm not doing it, I'm letting other people down.
Right.
So I started doing reviews on every park we go to, unless it's like this one, because I've been here so many times and left right. so many reviews so far. But, that people need to know, because people want to know the little things, you know,
right.
Are the sights level.
Right.
You know, or can you drive down the interior roads?
Yes.
You know,
do they have enough trash pickup?
Do they have
yes.
enough trash? You know, things like that. And if I don't say it, nobody's going to say it.
Right.
So I started doing that and made it my mission to make sure I left things like that and try to be fair and say the things, not just, oh, it's a good park.
Right.
Right.
Say the things that people want to hear to know whether they really want to go there or not.
And I think that's a great thing that I wish everybody would do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. When we're looking at places, we're always looking to see what people who have already been there have to say.
For sure.
And sometimes, though, you can read all the reviews you want and you get there and it is not at all what you expected, because those reviews were either very old and outdated.
Yep.
Or they were written by the people who own the park's family.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or they were written by somebody who really got mad.
Yeah.
The other park's family. That's right. You just never know. And so you're right. So in the posse, that's part of what we're trying to do. We have a whole section in the community on RV park and campground reviews, and so that people can give a realistic perspective
yes.
of what a stay at a park was. And we get enough people doing that in there. And it's not just us now saying, hey, when you go to Charleston, stay at the Mount Pleasant Charleston KOA, because
right.
this is what we did. Somebody else may go to Charleston and say, hey, we had a great time at this other park.
Right.
And you should look at it. And then to add on the, when you're in Charleston, or you could say, hey, I'm going to go to Charleston, what should I see?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
what's a do not
Put
miss
it out
in
there.
Your opinion? And so that is a big part of what we're trying to build with the posse. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Well, we were just talking a couple of nights ago, and we mentioned the when we were in Pittsburgh doing the Monongahela tram, cogway train up the side of the mountain. And you were like, oh, gosh, did I put that in my phone?
Yes.
This would be a place where it would be right there for
That's
anybody
perfect.
That...
And then you can search that
yeah,
if you're going to go to that area.
In there.
You can go into the search feature and type in those keywords, you know, Pittsburgh or Cog Railway or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it will bring up anything that folks have said about those areas.
Yeah.
Right.
So hopefully that will become even more and more useful to all of us as
it builds.
Yeah. Much so. And if again, it's going to just take the people deciding to do it. And
they have to do it.
Going to do it.
That's right.
You're right.
Yeah. Don't just join. You've got to get in the group.
Be active.
Get your say. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we've looked at it. We've read. We've watched videos. We haven't gone back and put in comments or pictures from, you know, the outstanding RV park we went to in Colorado.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We haven't done that yet.
The Loves RV park.
Yeah, which you would not expect, right?
I mean, I know that's got to surprise a lot of people, but it's just a really big, nice RV park that they've basically thought of everything.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's what everybody needs to know
about.
Right. Because you also want to make sure people support parks like that.
Yep.
Yes.
So that they will continue to stay in business and, you know, not feel like they have to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
Who would think about a Love's RV park for the most part? I mean,
until I ran across the first one and decided to stay at a small one, which was on the way to Branson in Oklahoma, never even heard of them.
Yeah.
And now I find out that, you know, doing the research, there's about 80 of them.
Wow.
You know, from every different size, from three spaces to this one. I know this one in Colorado has 120 spaces.
Wow.
And
some of them are even covered there, aren't they?
Covered with solar panels.
That's amazing.
Wow.
You know, and I thought it's such a great idea because, you know, they're using from the solar panel to do a lot of the park to make it run, but it also keeps all the snow and, you know, one guy we talked to said it keeps the hail off of it because it does hail there apparently sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you know.
It kept us out of the sun when we were there in the hottest months of the summer.
So that's perfect.
Because we spent about 6 weeks up there in that park.
What great thinking. They didn't just say, I'm going to just put in some RV sites here because that's popular and we're going to make money off of it. They thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can I make this even more appealing to people who might stop in?
Well, speaking of Loves then, now we know Loves. Well, we use Loves a lot because it's a diesel truck stop. So for us, we have to go to diesel truck stops. Do most of the Loves have a good place for y'all to fuel up because y'all are a gas?
I'd say it's probably 50-50.
50-50?
Because a lot of them are the older style, and they're made for cars. The place we stay in Oklahoma, in Vallion, Oklahoma, it's they don't even have truck stop area things. It's just a car thing.
Oh,
and
You can't
get in and out of it.
Yeah.
But like the one in Amarillo on a 40, when you pull out, you can go and get in and get out real easy. But it's a newer one. It's only been there for a few years. So
how do y'all decide then where you're going to stop for fuel as a gas Class A that is a decent size?
Yeah. I look before I leave to go anywhere. I know where I'm going to get gas because it is difficult to get into a lot of gas pumps.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is, number one, they put the gas nozzle thing on the back of the RV.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like you're pulling halfway up and you're not sticking out, or you can go and you have to pull all the way up with the rear end to
Never
the pump you're going to use.
Yeah. Oh.
It's supposed to be made to where you can get it from either side, but it's still on one side, and most pumps don't have stretchable things, so you get within about 6 or 8 inches of it from the far side.
Oh, my goodness.
And so you do have to, you know, be particular about how you do that. But what I do is, if it's not someplace that I've been around, if there's not a Buc-ee's pretty close,
because
we really do use Buc-ee's a lot.
Yes.
We do a lot of Flying J's.
Okay.
Not pilots, because very few pilots you can get in and
out. Oh, okay.
Flying
Interesting.
Flying J's.
Okay.
Probably 2/3 of those have actual RV pumps.
Okay.
Dedicated RV gas pumps that do diesel too. But,
okay.
And then after that, it's I'll pull up the map, and I'll widen it out as far as I can, and I'll have to judge as to whether I think we can get in and out. And a lot of times, if you could just drive around the back of, you know, to get either out or in, you can get in into the pump. That's
you can get the inside, maybe going facing out.
Or you should be able to tell on a lot of them whether they've got the perpendicular pumps.
That go.
That's not pulling straight into it, but you're pulling in front of the. So I do a lot of research because I do not want to get called out. I've had enough problems on the side of the road.
Yeah, and what's crazy is until we had our conversation with Judy and Jenna, we never thought about this for a gas vehicle because we're diesel. So we always go through the truck stops. That's where we felt like we are limited because we have to go to a truck stop to get fuel.
Right.
Or a Bucky's. We can get into a Bucky's if they have diesel. But I never thought with a bigger Class A that's a gas that you'd have
or even a bigger C or that's even, a gas.
Yeah, bigger C. And then, I never thought it'd be a problem.
And then the real problem, though, is the car behind it.
Right, because you're towing the car.
They track well. They really do when you're towing four on the ground. But still, you've got to make sure you don't drag that rear end on something when you're turning. So you have to have enough space to get by to get out and then turn and not drag the car off. Because if you don't have the car with you, if you pull up a little bit, what do? You back up just a hair and then turn.
Right.
Because that gives you more of an angle.
Which when you're four down, you can't do that.
You can't do that. You cannot. You do. Because I did try to back one up one time. That wasn't right. Good thing.
Yeah, no.
But we did have a friend last night, Stacy, who taught us a feature on Google Maps where you can measure your turnaround distance, the width of the pumps.
Yes.
But also, there's a trend we're hoping to see more of at this particular Love's in Colorado. They had dedicated RV pumps.
Nice.
Not just dedicated, but covered.
Covered.
Oh, wow.
And there were four or six of them.
Wow. They really set off everything.
There's eight, I think.
Station.
Wow.
I think there was two pumps on
each side.
Side.
So it would have been.
That's nice.
It's unbelievable deal. And it was labeled
RV pumps.
Yeah, it says RV pumps.
Yay.
Okay. That is so nice. And this, I know this will help somebody out there because, like I said, we'd never even thought about it till we talked to Judy and Jenna because.
Which, if you didn't hear their episode, I'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah, because it's a good one, too. And they travel in a Class A gas.
Yes.
And sometimes, because I forget, I try on my reviews because in the deal where it has, add on where you can put, go visit here and there. It's not the review of the park. It's you put other things.
Right.
If I know there's a good station, a Bucky's close or outside of Branson, if you're going south instead of north, there's a couple of deals down there that you can pull in. They've got big spaces around it. And I'll put that down in the reviews.
Oh, that's always helpful.
Good.
Because that's, sometimes you feel like as a gas Class A, you get kind of left behind because nobody, and there's so many of them out there now.
Big Class C's, like Stacy said.
So it's something that I try to remember to put in and
that's good.
Add to it.
Yeah, so. That's a great.
And we need
a great tip
in the future for Stacy and I. We need to speak more about that because we have never really thought about it till just now.
Right. We do need to remember that.
Yes.
Well, you don't know about it until you need to know about
it.
Right. Exactly.
And then it becomes pretty important.
Yeah. I agree. 100%. Well, guys, I guess we got to wrap it up. Yeah. We could just keep talking. These are some of the folks that we might sit here with you all day if you got the time. If you're driving somewhere, and you're just continuing to listen. But no, we really appreciate y'all sitting down and sharing your story.
Yes.
Sure. And a link to everything in the show notes, like we talked about. And if you'd like to join the posse, I'll put a link also to that and start getting to know people more and learning from each other and building those relationships.
Well, experience is the main thing in this in the RV world.
Oh, yes. No doubt.
I mean, if you're not willing to listen to somebody else who has experience that's talking to you, you're going to be in trouble.
That's
because
yeah.
you're going to have to learn it the hard way.
Right.
And there's so many things that we do that from experience that you keep from doing again, hopefully.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
I agree. So thank you for sharing your experience.
Yes. You're welcome.
And thank you for listening. We always enjoy having y'all along. We hope you're enjoying all of these series of folks that we know and love, and we love sharing them with you. And so until next time, y'all, safe travels.
And happy camping.
Bye.